Early one cool September morning when I was 16 years old, I jumped out of my bed, headed for the bathroom. A split second after my feet hit the floor, my bottom followed. I knew I hadn't tripped or fallen over anything. When I tried to stand, I found that my legs would not hold me up. I remember feeling totally confused. What I didn't realize at the time and couldn't possibly know was that I'd just taken the first step of a lifelong journey that would ultimately provide me with a remarkable gift. The diagnosis was multiple sclerosis, and the prognosis was that I would likely never walk again. I fell apart. As a teenager, the most important thing to me was being with my friends, something that suddenly seemed impossible. I was particularly upset because the school I had attended my whole life wasn't wheelchair accessible, which meant that I wouldn't be graduating the following year with my class. I was convinced that any kind of life worth living was over. In retrospect, having met incredible people through my work whose wheelchairs have never slowed them down, I'm ashamed of the way I reacted. I am grateful that my work has given me the opportunity to learn that being healed and feeling well isn't so much a physical process as an emotional one. I was the youngest of four children. As my dad's medical practice was well established by the time I came along, I had the privilege of spending a great deal more time with him than had my brother or sisters. Dad and I would take long walks, play tennis, and go fishing at a nearby lake. I adored my mom, but Dad and I were best buddies. Neither of us was prepared for the shock that September morning brought. My sudden illness was particularly hard on him. More than the physical implications, he worried about my mental health, I think. Dad realized I needed to have something on which to focus, something hopeful. As fate would have it, he had recently read about a woman in California who was training dogs to help people who use wheelchairs. Knowing how much I loved animals and hoping to give me a reason to keep fighting, he contacted the woman. Unfortunately, she couldn't send a dog as far away as my hometown of Atlanta. Rather than being disappointed, Dad grew determined. He decided that a similar program was surely needed in our part of the country. On the Friday after Thanksgiving, he met with a CPA about setting up a nonprofit program he named Canine Assistance. 3 weeks later, Dad was walking on the sidewalk along a nearby park when a drunk driver on a motorcycle jumped onto the path and hit him. All night, I stayed in the waiting room of the ICU at the hospital where Dad was on staff. His coworkers flooded the hospital. He was not only a gifted surgeon, he was a wonderful man, and his friends were using all their skills to keep him alive. We kept hoping for good news that night, though it never came. Dad was broken. The hands he'd used to give sight to so many were literally crushed. His brilliant brain was damaged. For most of the night, his blood pressure was almost non-existent. Toward morning, nature overrode the heroics of modern medicine, and my dad died. The only thing that kept me from falling into despair was my anger. If you've ever faced such dark anguish, you know what a blessing anger can be. I had to fight the adversity or die myself. I decided the best reason to continue living was to make the world better for somebody else who was hurting. Otherwise, life seemed like a pointless exercise in pain. I grabbed the dream of Canine Assistance, and I held it like a lifeline. Over the next several years, my illness went into full remission, and I slowly regained the ability to walk. How? I was lucky. That's the best answer I have. My doctors conjectured about why my condition improved so much. But then and now, that seems unimportant to me. The simple fact is clear. I got lucky. Mom and I were not so lucky when it came to money. There was a clause in Dad's life insurance policy that negated payout in cases of death by two-wheeled vehicle, which was obviously intended for those riding one or driving motorcycles. The insurance company nevertheless enforced the clause in his case. Without the insurance money and the substantial cash flow Dad's medical practice had brought, money became a problem for the first time in our lives. Mom and I learned a great deal about the value of buying in bulk, shopping at discount stores, Sunday morning newspaper coupons, and weekly sales at the local grocery stores. My siblings were just beginning their adult lives, married with young children or otherwise trying to establish themselves, so they were not able to help much financially. We did get help, though, from a number of wonderful people, and one remarkable woman in particular.